Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Mad Money Machine. I'm Paul Boyer. This is Wednesday, September 7th. Well, let's see, it's raining. It's back to school. I got the house to myself. It's a perfect time to do the show. Oh, and one more thing. The permanent portfolio is trouncing all of the other lazy portfolios, which makes me very happy and excited to bring that news to you and gloat. Gloat really big. Look at the performance since December 31st, 2009. So 1.5 years to date. Tell you about that in just a second. Also coming up on this show, what I did last summer. We will have a guru on the guru roulette wheel. I'll have a cool tool for you that save you a little bit of money and help you with your gold coins. Yeah, one reason I'm able to do a show for you today is it is because it has been raining the past couple of days, and it's chilly, 66 degrees in September 7th. Not the best, you can still golf in this weather, but not the best day for golf. And I've been doing a lot of golf this summer, probably played over 40 rounds of golf. Met some goals this summer. Broke 80. Three times. I won a couple tournaments, and I got my handicap down below 10. So a single-digit handicapper. I won one of my league matches by draining the last putt on the last hole. It's been a pretty good summer, although there have been a few bad rounds. In fact, the last round I played kind of makes me think I should switch over to exercise as my passion. I don't know. Just because it's something I can accomplish. So anyway, as promised, here are some portfolio results year and a half to date. This is since December 31st, 2009. The Harry Brown permanent portfolio of ETFs is up 30% in a year and a half. My version of it's up 29%. The permanent portfolio fund is up 28%. David Swensen's Yale Endowment is the next best lazy portfolio at up 15.2%. And the one bringing up the rear, Vanguard Windsor Fund, up 1.6%. Ah, let's pick another one. How about Rick Ferry Core 4? How'd he do in the year and a half to date? Up 10.7%. But anyway, I'm very excited about the permanent portfolio. You know, at the beginning of the year, even when I did the last episode back in March of Mad Money Machine, the permanent portfolio had been lagging all the other lazy portfolios, and it was up maybe a percent or thereabouts. And all the other portfolios were up more than that, up to 5% or something by March. Well, how times change, and since mid-July, the permanent portfolio has been on fire. And the other lazy portfolios that we track here at Mad Men Machine have been in the doldrums. For example, as of September 6th, the Harry Brown permanent portfolio, the purest one that we deal with here, investing in four exchange-traded funds, to make it simple, VTI, which is the total stock market, IAU, the gold fund, TLT, the long bond fund, and SHY for your cash. Combination of those in equal parts year to date is up 12.7%, and it's the highest gaining portfolio year to date of all the lazy portfolios that we track here. And you can check them out at madmoneymachine.com, the other ones. My version of it, which I try to be in more risky stocks, it's up 11.3%. And the reason that it's up less than the Harry Brown version is because the more risky stocks are down more. In fact, they're down double just the pure vanilla total stock market index. What is the next highest lazy portfolio out there, and how is it done? The Scott Burns couch potato portfolio is up, as of yesterday, almost 2%. 2% compared to 12.7% for Harry Brown. What's the other good news about the Harry Brown permanent portfolio? It is so involatile. It's so stable. It doesn't swing around so much. Look, for example, at, let's look at the Scott Burns Six Ways from Sunday portfolio. In April, it was up 9.4%. And as of yesterday, it was up, let me check it. Oh, it was down 0.7%. So from a gain of 9.4 down to a loss of 0.7, that's got a wide swing in its value. And it's the kind of portfolio that makes you sick if you have to watch it all the time. So the bottom line is don't watch it. I guess that's the first thing. But the second thing is, Why invest in something so volatile when you can be in a permanent portfolio and not have to watch your investments? Only rebalance them when they get completely out of whack. Well, so the question is, if you were investing new money right now, if you said, all right, Paul, I'm convinced. I'm going to get into the permanent portfolio, but isn't now a bad time? Because gold is at record highs. And even that bond fund you mentioned, TLT, which is the long bond fund. Let's take a look and see how that's done so far. That's up 24.3% year to date. Certainly, surely bonds are in a bubble, right? So how do I get into a permanent portfolio if I believe that these assets are at all-time highs? Well, that's not the way you should look at it. Here's the way you should look at it. Look at the total portfolio and realize that over a year's time, the permanent portfolio has rarely lost money. And I'm looking back since 1972. You pick a year, of performance since 1972, there's been only a couple, maybe three times that the permanent portfolio has ended up losing money on an annual basis. So you've got a good chance, if you invest now, that a year from now, you will not have lost money in the total portfolio. So that's the way you got to look at it. You got to look at it as a whole package. Of course, the difference might be is if you're invested 100% in stocks right now, and then you switch and sell some of those stocks and put them into a permanent portfolio, put some of those stocks into bonds, some of those stocks into gold, then what would happen? Well, I know what would happen to me. Stocks would go through the roof and bonds and gold would tank, meaning that what I could have had, the gains that I could have had, would have been far superior to the gains in the permanent portfolio. But the bottom line is I would still, I believe, have gains, because the stock's gains should outweigh the losses in bonds and in gold. But who knows? No one can guarantee such a thing. That's the way to look at it, though, is in a total package. If you're in cash, then I'd say, yeah, start buying those stocks, bonds, and gold. Buy them all at the same time, and then forget about it. That's the cool thing. So I'm excited about the permanent portfolio. And I'm excited about the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble. And for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Men Machine Show 184 is Bond King Bill Gross. Yeah, Bill Gross is the King of the Bond Fund. He is the head of PIMCO, which is one of the biggest bond funds in the world, and it's made him millionaire many, 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 many times over running that fund. He oversees $1.2 trillion at PIMCO. Now, at the beginning of 2011, Bill Gross dumped all of his U.S. debt holdings. This was in March. He expected economic growth would be higher, resulting in inflation down the road. Well, that decision, according to Reuters, greatly undermined the performance of PIMCO's total return fund. As treasury prices rallied, the fund lost 0.97% in the last 4 weeks, while the benchmark Barclays U.S. Aggregated Bond Index rose 0.23% in the same period, according to Lipper data. So far this year, his fund has returned 3.29%, which is less than the 4.55% recorded by the Barclays benchmark index. Well, if you had, back in March, listened to Bill Gross and not invested in the TLT, the long-term bond fund. Let's take a look. Let's plug in the numbers. Let's do March 15th, 2011, until yesterday, and see how these returns would have shaken out. Yeah, the TLT is up 25.1% since Bill Gross said he was dumping all his U.S. debt. Just another example of who not to listen to. Well, congratulations, Bill Gross. You're the guru on Madman Machine Show 184. Well, another thing I did since the last show in March was in April, I got invited to go to a mancation. Mancation. Yeah, we had about, 15 guys converge on Myrtle Beach. We rented a beach house down there. It was a duplex. Each side had 8 rooms, and each room had its own private bathroom with shower and so forth, vanity. And we had a big, the two halves of the duplex would connect through the back deck, and an enormous kitchen, each with 2 refrigerators, 2 dishwashers, all kinds of stuff. It was the perfect place for mancation, right near a lot of courses south in Myrtle Beach. And we golfed every day, had a great time, and that was the reason I didn't do any shows in April. And then, of course, May, June, July, August. A lot of golf, a lot of other things going on. But now that it's September, it's back to school, it's raining, I'm so happy to be doing another Mad Money Machine. And I'm so happy that the permanent portfolio is doing so well. Well, the question then is, let's talk about investing in currencies for a moment. Let's say that you live in the United States and you want to make money with your dollars. So you go about trading currencies. You think, all right, here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to make my fortune. I'm going to sell some US dollars and I'm going to buy some euros. And when euros go up in value compared to the dollar, I'm going to sell those euros and buy back my dollars. It's trading. It's forex trading. Currency trading, basically, is what's going on here. And you can trade your dollars against euros, or you can trade them against yen. You can trade them against Swiss francs. A lot of other currencies out there that you can play with to try to game the system and make money. Maybe you believe the dollar itself is in decline because the U.S. has such large debt, and they're going to keep printing lots and lots more dollars, so you want to be in some other currency. Well, the problem is all of the other currencies are in the same sort of boat. They keep printing more and more of their currencies as well. More euros, more yen. Even the Swiss franc now apparently is being tied to the euro. So what if there were a government of low debt out there? What if there were a really stable government that produced a very, very stable currency, a currency that maybe they only printed 3% more of that currency per year? Wouldn't that be a good place to trade your dollars into? Well, the government of lower debt that's out there does exist. Government of Lower Debt. And I'll abbreviate that G-O-L-D. Gold is the currency of choice. It's the currency that only rises about 3% per year because they keep mining more of it. Fortunately, they haven't figured out a way to chemically create gold through alchemy or whatever. And I don't suppose that there will ever be a really efficient way to create gold out of some other element. Add an atom to some lesser element, for example. So, is gold in a bubble? The price of gold has gone up. It's gone past $1,920 an ounce. And it popped back down today to $1,820. It just gyrates all over the place in comparison to the dollar. That's okay, because gold is stable. Gold is not in a bubble. Gold is a currency of the government of lower debt. And I do believe that gold is a place to store wealth and to protect yourself from the volatile dollar. So where do you get gold? Well, one interesting thing that eBay has done is come up with a bullion center. If you go out to eBay and enter bullion center, you'll find their link to a pretty good little tool. You can customize your search of the various types of gold coins that you might want to buy out there. Which brings us today's Tool in the Crib. All right, so let's say you do go on to eBay in the Bullion Center and you buy a gold coin and you receive it in the mail and you look at it and you think, how do I know this is really an ounce of gold? Well, in the past, I've told you about the Fish Gold Coin Tester, F-I-S-C-H. I think it comes out of South Africa. And if you buy one of those, a little plastic thing, you basically measure the coin and then you weigh the coin using this little plastic thing. And if it tips the scale, that you know that there's nothing else but gold or tungsten. That can be that small and that heavy. But it's $169 to buy that little piece of plastic, which I think is a bit of a ripoff, you know? Well, to the rescue, goldcoinbalance.com. Goldcoinbalance.com. For $20, you can get a piece of plastic that measures the diameter, the thickness, and the weight of your gold coin. And if it tips the scale and fits in all those slots, you can be assured that that thing is gold or tungsten. So that's our tool in the crib this week. Gold coin balance. And unlike other tools I've talked about in the past, this one's $20. The best things in life are free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Now give me money. That's what I want. Well, the presidential race is getting heated up for 2012. The Republicans fill the stage. The Republican presidential hopefuls fill the stage. Some come and go. Right now, Rick Perry is the hot one. I think earlier in the year, Donald Trump was the hot star. So they come and go. But there's one guy who seems to be rising slowly, slowly upward. And of course, I'm talking about Ron Paul. Ron Paul gave an excellent performance in the South Carolina debates. An interesting debate format, by the way. They had each candidate come out on the stage and just answer questions for about 15 or 20 minutes. And I thought Ron Paul did an excellent job. It looks like some of the other candidates are trying to become Ron Paul. I know that Mitt Romney came out in his opening three-minute statement. He talked about how we should get back to the Constitution and the government's too big and all this sort of stuff. I mean, it was a great speech, just like Ron Paul would give. But I just wonder, can we trust that Mitt Romney will really be a Ron Paul if he got into office? Well, Ron Paul, his investment strategy is also different from the other candidates. Barron's ran an article in August called The Candidate of Doom and Gloom. It says that, note to voters, Congressman and presidential candidate Ron Paul's multi-million investment portfolio is a big bet against the U.S. economy. Article by Jim McTeague. And he says, say this for him. Ron Paul puts his money where his mouth is. Over the past 16 years, the dollar doom and gloom prophet has invested heavily in gold mining stocks. It's his hedge against what the Texas Republican congressman and perennial presidential candidate calls the great inflation, which he's long preached is inevitable. And given the profligacy, profligacy of the federal government and the easy monetary policies of the Federal Reserve. Fortunately for Ron Paul, he continues, and his army of gold bug disciples, the stopped clock investment strategy finally seems to be paying off. Gold and gold futures prices have been hitting record highs. Well, you know what? I wish Ron Paul would be in the permanent portfolio. What a great statement that would make if he would pay tribute to Harry Brown's investment strategy by putting his own money into a permanent portfolio. You know, one quarter stocks, quarter bonds, quarter gold, quarter cash, and take the slow ride to gains that has been provided through the years. Well, the article continues about gold mining stocks. He said, this is where Paul has the bulk of his money and also may have hit pay dirt, albeit rising at a slower pace. Gold itself is up 28% this year at the time, this article, August 20th. But in the same period, the gold miners index is down 2.9%. And this is something Harry Brown has talked about. He says, you know, gold stocks are no substitute for gold. Gold stocks, you're investing in companies whose fortunes ride on their ability to mine. And you don't know necessarily about their inventory of gold and whether that's going to translate into a rising stock price. And evidently, he's right about that, because the gold miner stock being down 2.9% and gold being up 28% proves the point. There's not a strong correlation between mining stocks and the actual bullion. Now, another thing that the article says that Ron Paul is invested in is some bear funds. The Federated Prudent Bear Fund, the RIDEX Dynamic NASDAQ 102X, an inverse bet on the NASDAQ, and the RIDEX Inverse S&P 500 strategy. And actually, those have probably done pretty good year to date, but one of the problems with, I think, those funds is they take a lot of expenses, especially the exchange-traded funds. They don't correlate all that great with the inverse of the actual indexes. Well, so Ron Paul might be a great presidential candidate, might be a master investor, but I prefer the permanent portfolio of former presidential candidate Harry Brown. So what's going to end up for Ron Paul this election cycle? Here's my prediction. I think he'll do pretty well in some places, but unfortunately, the nation as a whole is not yet ready for Ron Paul. They want rock stars in the White House. The general public out on the street wants somebody who can, who's young, who's exciting, who's handsome, or beautiful, and who talks well and exciting speeches. So I'm going to have to say that while I would want Ron Paul to win, I don't think he's going to win the Republican nomination. So what would happen then? He is not running again for his congressional seat, which is interesting, which I think puts him in a position this time to run once again as the presidential candidate of the Libertarian Party. Last year, who was it? Bob Barr was the Libertarian candidate, along with Wayne Allen Root as his vice presidential pick. So I think Ron Paul will switch over to the Libertarian Party later, after the Republican nomination is sealed up. And I don't have a pick for who that would be, by the way. So who would Ron Paul name as his vice presidential choice? And would it be his son Rand Paul? Wouldn't that be interesting? Have a father-son presidential and vice presidential candidate? Or could it be Donald Trump? That would be interesting. Some people have suggested, I saw one place someone suggested Newt Gingrich as his vice president. No, that would never happen. Or would he pick one of the Lou Rockwell columnists out there? Yeah, it's a more likely chance he would. But I think it would be very interesting if Ron Paul would pick his son Rand Paul and run on the Libertarian ticket. All right, so what else was I doing this summer? Earlier this year, I thought I'll get into writing iPhone apps. I've got a couple ideas for an iPhone app. Both of them were centered around monitoring your portfolio's returns. And I got into it. I really actually started studying programming the iPhone, took the Stanford courses online, got into doing that, had some little, ran their little demo programs and so forth. But then I realized, you know what, this is a lot of effort and there would be very, very little return for this. There's probably 20 of you out there that would pay $5 for the kind of iPhone app I had in mind. And so that's $100. And quite frankly, I've got other ways to make $100 that are a whole lot easier than that. So, I mean, I could go around the house and sell stuff on eBay and make $100, a whole lot easier than that. So, I don't know. I think I'd have to have a really great idea for an iPhone app. One idea that I saw, one app I just saw out there was the Obama countdown clock. Why didn't I think of that one? Man, you could run advertisements on that. It says, This app will count down the days, minutes, and seconds until the next inauguration. And they leave it to you to decide whether that's inauguration for someone else or this is an inauguration for Obama once again. But I thought that was a cool idea, the countdown clock for Obama. What else we did this summer? We went to a play, a theater play at Broadway play, basically, touring nationally at a Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. The play, the musical, was Wicked. We saw the next to last performance there, but it's touring nationally, or perhaps you could see it in New York City. I do recommend it. Here's the way I recommend watching it, though. Before you go to that kind of a play or any other musical, get a copy of the album of the music of the play, and listen to it a few times to become familiar with the songs. It makes it a whole lot more enjoyable hearing them again performed live on stage rather than hearing them for the first time performed live on stage. My recommendation to you. And speaking of music, I've been trying out Spotify and Ardio. Ardio gave me a free week of listening on the iPhone and on the website, and then that ended. That's $9-$10 a month if you want to continue listening to unlimited streaming music. Spotify, same sort of deal. I think Spotify can still listen through the web. I just can't use my iPhone app to listen to music. They've got a very extensive catalog, millions and millions of songs. And so if you can think of a song, you can type it in and probably find it on there and listen to it. Of course, there's also Groove Shark, which is free for the web. But haven't yet ponied up the money for either one of those. I did last year, last October, got a subscription to Pandora. And I've been enjoying that on and off for a long while. Last thing I'll talk about is I'm trying to figure out a way to finally get rid of this PC in my office. I'm, of course, running a MacBook with a large monitor. The PC is next to me with another large monitor on my desk. But the only thing right now that I use the PC for is for my Excel spreadsheet, which keeps track of the year-to-date performance of the lazy portfolios. This Excel spreadsheet has a plugin added to it, which pulls data from Yahoo. It pulls stock market values from Yahoo. For example, it can tell me the adjusted closing price of a stock going back to any date that I pick within reason. For example, I'll type in December 31st, 2010 for the TLT, the bond fund. And it'll give me the adjusted price of that fund, including reinvested dividends. All right. So it'll tell me that that fund has a gain of 25.1%. Now, that would be different if you were just using Google Finance to look up the date, the price of TLT on that date, because Google Finance does not adjust for dividends. Okay, so I can't use Google spreadsheets to do this function because I can't pull in stock market data adjusted for a stock on a particular date like I can in this Excel spreadsheet with this add-in from Yahoo Finance, historical quotes. So I still have this PC sitting on my desk. I don't think this plugin will run on the Mac version of Excel, and I don't particularly want to run one of those Windows emulators on my Mac either. It just eats up too many resources. So I guess I'll have to live with this big behemoth of a computer next to my desk for a while longer until I can figure out how to get adjusted historical stock quotes into a spreadsheet on the Mac. If you have any ideas, let me know. Well, I have enjoyed doing another show in 2011, probably the third or fourth show that I've done in 2011. Been excited to talk about the permanent portfolio. You know, my personal permanent portfolio is up about 11% year to date. I have a target, a goal of wanting to get 6% each and every year. So I'm so happy to be above my goal for the year. It gives me a little cushion. I guess I can drop 5% from this point and still make my goal for 2011. I wish you success in your portfolios. I want to thank you for listening to the Mad Money Machine. When I have something else to say, I'll do show 185. Don't know whether it'll be next week, next month, or next year. This is Paul Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes knowing whether we're in a gold bubble or not to make a Mad Money Machine. See you next time. Thanks for listening.